wish that I had written down more of the things that my children did and said when they were young. I kept thinking I would always remember them, but unfortunately, I think I've forgotten some gems. One thing I do remember, though, is something that happened when Franklin, our oldest son, was about 5 years old. Now, when Franklin was 5 years old, this was about 12 years ago, there was a phenomenon that those of you with children then would probably know about called Pokemon. Yes. Now, if you had children around that age at that time, Pokemon were imaginary animals with magic powers, and they even evolved, so it was quite something. And they captured the imagination of many young people. So around that time, there were trading cards, there were stuffed animals, there was a TV show cartoon that was on all the time, and then there were movies, about 4 movies. Now, Franklin was really, really infatuated with Pokemon. So about that time, he and I had a discussion one evening about what was most important in life. And this is what he said. "I know God is most important. Jesus is next." And then he looked at me with a twinkle in his eye and said, "Then Pokemon." Well, even a 5-year-old who loves Pokemon can tell you that we're supposed to put God first. It's not news to us. As Jesus tells the Pharisees in today's gospel, "The most important thing of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." That's not news to us, but how we live that out with integrity and what that means for our daily lives, that is a lifelong spiritual journey. One of my favorite Anglican writers on spirituality, Evelyn Underhill, tells us that we humans were created for 3 things. We were created for adoration, for awe, and for service. This is how she puts it. "One's first duty is to adoration, and one's second duty is awe, and only one's third duty is service. And for those 3 things and nothing else, addressed to God and no one else, you and I and countless human creatures evolved." She goes on to say, "2 of the 3 things for which our souls are made are matters of attitude or relation, adoration and awe. Unless those 2 are right, the last of the triad, service, won't be right." We are created for adoration, for awe, and for service. And that's why we come together week after week to worship here in this place. So these 2 commandments form the bedrock of our spiritual lives. But they are challenging. They are both a promise that we make in our baptism and a goal for our lives. Now, you remember when we are baptized and when someone else is baptized and we renew our baptismal covenant, we make 5 vows, 5 baptismal vows. And the last 2 of those vows have to do with love of neighbor. With God's help, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And with God's help, we promise to strive for justice and peace and to respect the dignity of every human being. Now, it can be extremely difficult at times to love our neighbors as ourselves. And how many of us are really act loving towards ourselves all the time? I have found that often people are much harsher critics of themselves than they are of their family or their friends. Sometimes we have to even learn to love ourselves better, to be as forgiving with ourselves as we are with other people. But when we come to know how much God loves us, how beloved each one of us is to God, then we can truly begin to love ourselves and each other. But loving our neighbor can be inconvenient. It can test the limits of our patience and our generosity. It is not easy, and we do not do it alone. We do it always with God's help. So this is a goal, love of God and neighbor. It's our goal because it's impossible for us to do it all the time. We simply can't love God all the time, and we simply can't love our neighbors as ourselves all the time. So our liturgy, in its wisdom, gives us something to do with that. Every week we come together in our Eucharist and we confess together. We confess to God, we have sinned against you, we have not loved you with our whole heart, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Every week we confess that together and we receive God's forgiveness. Now the really good news is that God does not expect us to be perfect. God does not want perfection, because that is not possible. What God wants is relationship with each one of us. We can't be perfect, and many of us try to be perfect, but we can't be perfect. But we can stay in relationship with God. We can stay connected to God and to other people. And when we do sin, when we do something that separates us from God, hurts or destroys the creatures of God, as the prayer book says, then we ask God's forgiveness. This is also in our baptismal covenant. When we fall into sin, we can repent and return to the Lord. I think it was Alan Jones, former dean of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, and another one of my favorite writers on spirituality, who said that spirituality is the art of making connections. I love that definition. Spirituality is the art of making connections. We desperately need more connections in this culture, which is very disconnected and very polarized. We need more connections between people of all faiths, between Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, and Buddhist people, between people of faith and people who are not part of any faith tradition. This week I met with some of the area clergy, and one of the pastors here told me that he thinks that about 80% of the people in Temple Terrace are not part of any community of faith. We need more connections. We need more connections between the generations. The children need the elders, and the elders need the children. We can all learn from each other. And I am convinced that much of the violence in our world comes from serious disconnection between people and nations. So God created us for relationship and for connection. And I think all of us long for more of that, more connection, and for real relationship with ourselves, with those around us, and with God. And God longs for connection with us. God will never force us to turn around when we're heading off in the wrong direction, but God will always wait with open arms for as long as it takes for us to come to our senses, like the prodigal son, to turn around and head back home. We are all connected, and we are all in this together. I drove into Temple Terrace a week ago Wednesday, and the movers came a week ago Thursday, and my first day in the office was Monday, and then I had diocesan convention this Friday and Saturday, so it's been a wonderful, very full about 10 days that I've been here, and this is my first week, as you know, here in the parish. And I already have a strong sense of how you as a congregation are really powerfully connected to each other. Sometimes in small groups and some in the larger body of the community. So the powerful connections that you have with each other and with God. And I'm delighted to be here as your new rector and looking forward to getting to know each and every one of you in the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come. I'm grateful to be here with you and to be ministering with you in this parish and this community. We are all connected and we are all in this together. Now, I want you to know I don't expect you all to be perfect. And I hope that you don't expect me to be perfect. Sometimes I expect myself to be perfect, but we can't do that. And we will make mistakes. I am positive that we will have wonderful times, delightful times. We will have much joy. But we will also make mistakes. And sometimes we will disappoint each other. That's just life in community. But through it all, God will be with us. I pray this morning that this journey that we begin together takes us deeper into the unfathomable love of God and deeper into the great mystery that is Christian community. Amen.
Amen.